Welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast with your host, Mark Griffin, founder and owner of In His Name HR. Each week, Mark interviews nationally known thought leaders from corporate America, higher education, churches, and ministries. His goal is to bring you great ideas that help engage your employees, shift your culture toward higher performance, and increase employee loyalty at the organization you lead. Each episode features an idea or process that's made a tremendous impact on employees and employers alike. Now sit back, relax, and listen in as he delivers encouragement today through this episode's special guest.
Hello, welcome to Encouragement at Work. I'm Mark Griffin, I'm your host, and today we're really excited to introduce Bart Kaler. Bart is a good friend of mine, and we do a lot of work in the Christian higher education space. And what Bart's going to be talking to us about today is something that's been on a lot of people's minds. And we've got a lot of queries about this from our clients, but also from some of our blog post readers about artificial intelligence, AI, and how does that fit within a kingdom perspective? So Bart, I'd like to welcome you to the podcast. Would you let our listeners know a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I am a first-generation college student, so I do a lot of work in the higher education spot. That's been a little bit of my passion. I've got a lot of corporate experience, so I've done a lot of work for Motorola, for RCA.com. I did that website at one point. I've worked with the American Bible Society. A lot of different experiences over the course of my career, but I finally decided about 15 years ago that, you know what, I get most passionate about helping people understand the transformative power of higher education, especially Christian higher education, because it impacted my life and my wife's life so dramatically that I decided I wanted the rest of my career to be focused on that. And so all throughout my career, I've kind of been on the edge of emerging technology. I did my first website in 1994. I did a session in 2005 at Taylor University. They asked me to come and talk about this thing called Web 2.0. And I said, you know, this fall, it's going to change because this little website called Facebook is going to be open to the world and not just, Ivy League college students.
Wow.
And so that changed things. And, late teens, I was talking about, this little website that my daughter liked. It was called Musical.ly, and now it's known as TikTok. Wow. And so so I kind of feel like I kind of see things coming. And so that's what I'm hoping I can bring to the table for generative artificial intelligence.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. It has been incredible what we've been able to witness in our careers, starting out and not having all these tools as employees, as managers, as we, work for organizations now that we have all these tools. So with AI, do people need to be afraid of it, Bart? What's your thoughts around that?
Yeah. So a lot of my perspective, somebody asked me that the other day. There's like, aren't you worried about some of the things you've heard about OpenAI, the company that runs ChatGPT, discovering this, new neural network that is on the edge of being sentient? And I was like, you know what? No, I'm not. I believe throughout history, man has tried to do things to hurt themselves. I mean, you start with the Tower of Babel. We tried to decide that we were going to be like God and we were going to build a tower, and God had other plans for us. And he intervened to change the way human history was going to go. He did the same thing with the ark. He did the same thing with Christ and with a lot of other things. And so, and a lot of that's not my own thinking. Tony Reinke, he's part of Desiring God Ministries. Sure. He wrote a book called Technology in the Christian Life. And he kind of outlines the whole idea of how should we as believers approach technology like, generative AI and biomedics and how do we do, editing genes and things like that? How do we approach that from believers? And one of the things that I take comfort in is the fact that, God is in control and God is much bigger than anything that Elon Musk or anybody else can come up with. And at the end of the day, either I have a belief that God is bigger than anything else that man can come up with, or I don't. And so I personally believe that God is in control. Whether or not man creates these things and however they go, at the end of the day, God, it's in God's plan and God's will. And I believe it's a tool. So,
Bart, that is incredible insight because I've never heard anybody present it in that fashion. And you make a really valid point. There's a lot of people running around, oh, the sky's falling, it's the end of the world, and AI is going to take over, and so on and so forth. And even people saying, oh, it could be the mark of the beast or whatever. But, you know, God does create things for good as well. And you're right. You make a great point. There's been many times throughout history that things got crazy, a little bit out of hand, and God showed up and we survived through it. So that's great encouragement for people to understand that we can use this for good. So when we say AI, using it for good, what are some instances that you think that the listeners could really learn from on how to benefit from AI within their organizations?
Yeah, I think first of all, I'll start off with just to back up and kind of give some context of what AI is. So
thank you.
The big thing that we've been talking about since November of last year. So ChatGPT, as we know it, got released to the public November 30th of 2022. So it just celebrated its first, you know, birthday. So happy birthday, ChatGPT. And the thing is that what it is, it's a neural network that's been programmed to be able to learn on vast amounts of data. And so basically, when you look at, you know, OpenAI's as the company, it's been purchased by Microsoft, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things going around about that that we don't have time in this conversation to talk about. But the idea is that it's basically a computer that has been programmed to learn and teach itself and to become very proficient at learning. And so it has gotten to the point where it is much smarter than humans in the sense of what it has the ability to know. And it seems like it has emotions and intelligence. And that's just because of the way it's programmed into a neural network and it's learning amongst itself. And so while it's not, you know, it's not sentient, which means that it can take over and program itself, it cannot do that, but it has been trained on vast amounts of data. And so the fact that we can access it like a tool, we can actually now use it as a companion to help us generate content, to generate analysis, to do tasks. I liken it sometimes to, you know, if you're familiar with the Marvel comics or the Marvel movies, sure. Iron Man. So Tony Stark built a suit and it was an Iron Man suit. And when he climbs into that suit, his ability as a human get exponentially advanced. So okay. Now all of a sudden he can do superhuman strength. He can fly, he can do all these things, but it's within the context of the tool that he's created. Think about AI in the same way. I can leverage ChatGPT and through prompt engineering and through the ways that I engage that tool, I now have superhuman powers. I can do things that would take me hours upon hours to do it. I can do it now in 10 minutes. And I can take data sets and maybe I grab all the data sets for a certain thing and I can say, I can give it a persona. And I can say, act as an HR expert and do analysis on our programs and provide a summary of what our, you know, benefit package is. It can read a vast amount of data and summarize that into one page just because it has the ability to learn it and to, you know, reply back in a pattern. And sure. So a lot of times I want people to think about it as a tool. God's given us this tool. How do we use it for kingdom purposes? And so a lot of things I've been doing is using it for the marketing in higher education, especially for Bible colleges that they might not have a marketing department. Sure.
So that's what the next thing I wanted to cover is some positive aspects that you've seen AI work and the benefits that the organization was able to realize from the utilization of AI. Do you have an example or two, Bart?
Yeah. So even in my own organization, I think I have gained 15 additional hours in my week because of the amount of use that I'm doing with just ChatGPT, where it might take me 8 hours to put together a comprehensive comm flow written out for a client. And so I'm going to send an email out to prospective students and it's going to be 37 emails and matching texts over the course of, you know, an amount of time. That probably would have taken me at least 3 days to write, you know, before. But I've created a master prompt and I can upload examples of previous emails that the school has sent out. I can run it through my prompt and I can basically get those emails generated in the better part of, you know, a minute or two. And then I can edit those emails, adjust them, read through them, make sure that they match it. And so I just took 24 hours worth of time and condensed it down to maybe 2 hours of work.
So if I think I'm hearing you right, what AI is doing is it's helping you by letting you know which emails are effective over other emails based on open rates, time reading the email? Is that something?
That's part of it. It can actually, I can ask it to be an email marketing expert and to help me generate subject lines that get opened. You know, tell it that I'm getting ready to send this out to Generation Z students. And so be sure to use emojis. And so it will take all that into account and take the vast amount of information out on the internet about best practices for email marketing and crunch that down into not only the best practices, but it will also then rewrite my emails based on the benefits that I'm telling it to do and draft those emails out like if I had a really super smart intern where I said, this is what I want you to do.
So we're probably using AI a lot more than we actually think. And so an example would be like, if you're doing LinkedIn marketing, if you're marketing on LinkedIn, LinkedIn always comes back and says, hey, do you want to try it in XYZ? Because it's looking out on how receptive the ad is,
exactly,
and adjusting the ad to the audience. Then as it understands the audience, it presents it more to people that are interested in that. So a lot of marketing portals are using AI already?
Yeah, I would say even if you've been shopping on Amazon for a while, I mean, Amazon's been using artificial intelligence to serve up, you know, suggested products to you when it's in your, you know, if you use this, you might like this, or Netflix does that. So artificial intelligence has been a part of our life for a very long time. We just didn't know it and we didn't understand it until this new thing called generative AI, which is ChatGPT, which is these other new tools that have kind of come about in the last, you know, 18 to 24 months. That's what's got people kind of, you know, all of a sudden taking notice of it because, oh, this is different than what I thought AI was. Now I think of robots. Now I think of the Terminator. Now I'm scared. And it's got people talking about it. Whereas it's just the next level of the tools. It just happens to be a much more powerful tool because it's creating more, you know, artificial intelligence in the way that we think intelligence is.
So tell me more about how an organization could use it to benefit from a marketing perspective. A college, Christian higher ed, they want to go out and recruit more students.
Yeah.
How would they use AI to do that? How would that work?
So, you know, first of all, understanding some of the best practices. And so even just starting a chat on ChatGPT, I would start and say, you know, act as a marketer and name your school, because if you name the school, it will go
Let's help the listeners because they might not understand what developing a chat is.
Okay. So
that's like the first step.
First step is to go to a website called openai.com.
Okay.
Or just chat.openai.com. That is the parent company of ChatGPT. And you will have access to what's called ChatGPT 3.5. You can sign up for a free account and you'll have access to a chat. And basically, it's kind of like texting a friend. Sure. And so you kind of have to think about it in the sense that I like to think about it, like I said earlier, texting an intern. So imagine you've got a really, really smart intern and you want to give them a task. And so when you start that chat, and if you want to even just start it just a personal way, you can say, I need help. Help me create a meal plan for my family for the next 7 days and ask me as many questions as you need to do it right. And so you're starting a conversation with this thing. And so it's going to come back and say, great, I understand you want to make a meal plan. It's going to ask you questions. So it's going to say, are there any allergies in your family? Are there particular types of food that your family likes or doesn't like? How much time do you have to prepare the meals? It's going to ask you these questions. And then you type back to it and just have a conversation. It's like, well, my son is allergic to peanuts. We do not like Thai food or spicy foods. And we usually have 30 minutes to prepare it.
So honestly, it's almost like a personal assistant or a personal doctor. And I mean, we don't take doctor's advice from AI, but you know, you make a great point. If I want to lose 20 pounds next year and I go into AI, I could say, I'd like to lose 20 pounds.
Exactly.
It's intelligent enough to say, okay, well, how old are you? What do you like to eat? What's your current weight? What's your activities? And then it creates the plan for me to lose weight.
Exactly. And so you apply that to anything else. So now, and there's kind of, you know, three main things I look for in a prompt is I establish who it is. So give me an expert. So in that case right there, your example there, that use case, I would say, you are a highly qualified nutritionist and trainer. Help me with this. And then you would, so you identify the expertise that you want it to have. Then you go in and you kind of give it the parameters and say, you know, I want to be able to put this in and I want to be able to say these things. You give them the parameters and then you say, ask me as many questions as you need to complete your task. And so once you have that free account, you can kind of start playing with it. If you pay for it, the $20 account, now all of a sudden you can take a picture of all your gym equipment at the Y and you can say, create me
a whole nother level.
It's a whole nother level. It can look at pictures and say, oh, now I can do this. And so getting back to our marketing example, I can upload a picture of the website and say, acting as a higher ed marketer expert in Christian higher education, review this website and give me 10 tips to improve it, to increase my enrollment. It will read that website and do that.
Okay. Lastly, because we're wrapping up and we just have a few minutes left, we have a variety of listeners. They're mm-hmm. from higher education, but they're also in secular organizations as yep. well. Who knows? We have many. A small business owner. What could they do with it? I've heard of uploading your blog posts, uploading your offerings, uploading things of that nature, and then AI helps you navigate your business.
Yeah. And also keep in mind that you can also upload, you know, data. So you can upload, you know, I just finished writing a book. It's called Chasing Mission Fit. And I'm having some people review it. And I uploaded my book to ChatGPT. And I ask it to create a Sparks Note version of it. So it's basically a Cliff's Notes or a Sparks Notes, summarize the entire book in 3 pages. And so it wrote that for me because it read the entire book and then regenerated it back. So realizing that you can upload data sets, I mean, there's a great course on Coursera from the University of Vanderbilt on prompt engineering for ChatGPT and advanced data analytics. I'm taking the data analytics course right now, and he's having us upload the financial data from Vanderbilt University and basically say, review this data and give me interesting insights and provide me 4 graphics that I can use in a PowerPoint.
But again, back to the fear aspect, I'm an author as well. I have a couple books. I have a friend that said, hey, you need to upload that into ChatGPT and it'll help you out. And Mark Griffin's going, I'm a little nervous about that. I don't want people stealing my content.
Right.
You know, if I put all my blog posts in there, are people going to copy them? Is that a concern?
You can, yeah. I mean, there are protections that you can do. So in chat, you can go in and set your preferences to not train on my data. So okay. there are ways to do it. So if you're really going to get into this, educate yourself. I think that's one of the key things. That if you don't hear anything about this other than this, educate yourself on AI. The literacy that you need about artificial intelligence is only going to grow, and it's going to be more important over the next 6 months, 18 months, 24 months. And the more you can learn about it, the better informed that you're going to be, because it's going to be in all of our tools. I mean, whether you know it or not.
It's not ending. It's in everything.
It's going to be in Word. It's going to be in PowerPoint.
Yeah, it's in everything. So Bart, I really appreciate your time today. We are out of time. Bart talked to us about artificial intelligence unveiled, navigating AI from a kingdom perspective. He's assured us not to be afraid of it, that we need to embrace it, that it can help us grow, be prosperous, and expand our organization, whether it's a ministry or a church or higher ed or a secular for-profit company, AI can fit into any organization. So Bart, I appreciate you being on our podcast, and we hope to have you back on again in a few months.
My pleasure. Anytime, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. God bless.
This episode of Encouragement for Work has been brought to you by Job Shepherd. Post-COVID-19 recruitment has been unquestionably hard for employers, with many struggling to find quality employees in the aftermath. Religious-exempt employers have had an especially difficult time. Welcome to Job Shepherd, a platform that will change all of this for you. Job Shepherd was created to meet the demand by Christian employers, including ministries, camps, churches, colleges, and Christian for-profit companies in their search for qualified job candidates. Now, for a limited time only, employers post a job for free. Job seekers, come join us. You are always free. Learn more at www.jobshepherd.com.